Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast, and Phil Perry's alongside. And we have a special guest today. It's Jordan Palmer, and he is the quarterback guru, even though he doesn't like to be called that, to the stars. Whether it's Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jarrett Stidham, he works with all of them, and he does a tremendous job with them. What you're going to like to hear, Patriots fan slash observer, is a departure from the usual hammering away at Bill Belichick and the Patriots' fortunes that you've been hearing from Tom Curran and lesser, but to a degree as well, Phil Perry. You're going to hear Jordan Palmer turn your collective frown upside down into a smile about the fortunes of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and Jarrett Stidham. Before we get to Jordan, though, Phil, and I know that you're excited about hearing from this guy because you're a big QB slash Jordan Palmer guy.
And he's worked with them all. And there have been a wide range of outcomes for some of these prospects and most of these guys highly drafted. So I'm really interested to hear what he has to say about Jarrett Stidham in particular, because we know the billing on him was physically gifted, changed programs, worked in some wonky offenses, might take some time, but this guy could be the guy, and obviously hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold is another one. You're going to hear some very interesting comments about Sam Darnold and what he expects Jordan Palmer does from Darnold. But I'm going to read you this quote real quick. And I think it is indicative of where the Patriots are right now, league-wide. It's from John Brown, released by the Buffalo Bills this week. And he said, where will we land? He said, depends who needs receivers. Pittsburgh Steelers, Big Ben, definitely good with the deep ball. The Indianapolis Colts, the way they use T.Y. Hilton. You know, those are teams I feel like would have a need for a player like me. Those are the two main teams. So the Patriots don't even come up in John Brown's mind, and that's because of the lack of a quarterback. First of all, I think this is going to be a little bit of an epidemic next week, and the Patriots may have to overpay and might find we can't do anything because we don't have a quarterback. Agree or disagree with that stance?
I agree with the fact that they need a quarterback that they can point to if they want to compete for free agents and not have to totally make ridiculous, blow them out of the water type of offers financially to attract these guys, Tom. They have to have somebody on the roster to point to and say, this guy can deliver you the football on Sundays. They don't have that right now, even if Jarrett Stidham has all the physical gifts that I'm sure we're going to hear about from Jordan Palmer.
I can't point to Jarrett Stidham and say he's the answer. Can you?
No. And it gets back to some of the things that we heard about him before the draft, Tom, which is looks great in shorts and a t-shirt, throws a pretty ball. But when the bullets start flying, what was the saying that we were using consistently after they drafted Jarrett Stidham? Inconsistent reactions to pressure. And that's what we've seen really throughout his time in New England when he has had a chance to get on the field. We've seen him make throws in preseason, Tom, where he gets walloped and makes an accurate throw across the middle. And you say, man, if he can keep that up, the guy's a real player. But then we've also seen him in regular season action that, quite frankly, for the most part, hasn't mattered. And it's still when there's pressure on him, we've seen him react in all sorts of wild ways that you can't trust in a real important regular season game situation, in my opinion.
And that's why I felt as if, okay, ship sailed. I've punched the clock. I'm out on Jarrett Stidham. It's because of sometimes he'll stay in there like he is the second coming of, you know, Brady and take the hit that he has to. Other times, and this isn't a toughness question, mind you. This is a discerning what's coming and about to happen. And I think a lot of that is tied to jumpiness. What you're going to hear right now, folks, though, is Jordan Palmer explaining why that jumpiness may exist, why those inconsistent reactions still exist, and why we shouldn't be out quite yet on Jarrett Stidham. So here comes Jordan Palmer. He's talking to us via cell phone, hands-free, of course, as he heads to a session with Jarrett Stidham in Dana Point, California. All right, here's our guy, Jordan Palmer. As I mentioned, he is really the advisor to the stars. I use the word advisor, though, and I don't know if that's sufficient. How do you describe what you do, Jordan?
Well, you know, I do different things for quarterbacks of different ages. I work with guys literally from like 10 years old to 10-year vets. And so I kind of play a different role for different ages. But for the NFL guys and guys transitioning into the NFL for draft prep, I think I'm kind of just like that older vet in the room. And that's where if you asked a bunch of NFL quarterbacks who they learned the most ball from, most of them would probably mention an older player before they'd actually mention the name of a coach. And so I've just kind of found that to be my path. So I don't know what you want to call it, but I spend a lot of time with quarterbacks.
And the quarterbacks that you've spent time with, as we mentioned, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow last year. Now it's Tyler Lawrence, of course, Jarrett Stidham from the Patriots, and there's a lot more. But I want to ask you simply, what is the single biggest factor in determining NFL success? Because we've seen Mahomes on one end and Darnold on the other, and Allen in between and ascending, and Jarrett Stidham. What is the number one common denominator for success?
Well, certainly a big portion of it is the situation that they go into, mm-hmm. and the not just the team, but how the team develops the quarterback. I've made this argument for a long time, and I'll make it probably until I'm done doing this, but I think teams whiff on developing a high pick quarterback far more often than they whiff on drafting the wrong quarterback. There's not as many busts as we think. There's just guys that really needed to be developed, and the team did not develop them. And so they either moved on or got fired, honestly. In terms of, it's always going to be go into the right situations better than going to the wrong one. But in terms of the things that the player controls, I always look at two things when I'm evaluating quarterbacks, because I want to be right too, Tom. Mm-hmm. I want to work with the guys that I think are going to be good. And that doesn't just mean high picks. Every single year I have guys go undrafted or late. And then sometimes I have a guy that goes really high. But the two things I look at is confidence and maturity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the two emotional things that I look at. I'm talking about the two most important things that come way before throwing football. And confidence is a muscle that you can generate. It's not God-given. It's not hereditary. It's a thing you have to develop. You have to have a plan, and you have to have people that can pour into it. And it's just going to get tested. It's going to get tested with success, and it's going to get tested with adversity. And so I work with guys that either already have that or can gravitate towards that. And then the second one is maturity. And maturity is not tucking in your shirt and saying yes, sir, and being on time. Maturity is handling a situation that you've never been in before as if you've been in it a bunch of times. And mm-hmm. I've got a million examples of it. Anybody who plays well their first year is a good example of that, whether that's first year in college or first year in the NFL. So those two things, those are kind of like the do not pass go, do not collect $200. If you don't have both those things and you're drafted high, I think everything else has to line up perfectly for you to make it if you don't have those two things, or you got to get them real quick in a hurry. So that's kind of where I go when I evaluate guys.
And when you think of those three factors, it's confidence, maturity, and being in the right situation to develop. Then you have the good fortune or bad fortune to have health issues, and the good fortune or bad fortune to have the offensive line, the wide receivers, the tight end stay healthy. So there are so many factors determining the success of a Josh Allen relative to a Sam Darnold, relative to Deshaun or Patrick or Jarrett Stidham.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't think of this thing as short-term as the media and the mm-hmm. fans think, oh, this guy hasn't even been good in 2 or 3 years, get rid of him. I have a different relationship with these guys, and because I lived this, I was a scrubby player, but I've certainly backed up some stars, my brother included. Mm-hmm. And So I look at it for the entirety of it, and I just don't – fans don't realize that the best quarterbacks in the league right now, like the Tom Brady's and Drew Brees, the guys that have been doing this for a really long time, it didn't really click for them. They didn't really start balling until much later than people remember. Mm-hmm. I think Brees' first awesome year where he really went off, like his best year was year 7. You know, Alex Smith's number one pick, like his best year when it really finally clicked was year 12 with Andy Reid.
Yep.
And so, you know, and you know, Tom Brady's history significantly better than I do, but it's such an instant deal. It's instant expectations from the fans and the media's perspective right now. So, so what happens is we already come to conclusions on people. For example, a lot of people have drawn conclusions on Sam Darnold. I can just definitively tell you, save this, mark it, put it on your thing. You're dead wrong. This guy's going to be so good in this league. It just takes – he didn't have that equation.
Yep.
You know, it just – he was just as undeveloped as a player as in, that's drafted high that we've seen in recent years.
That is
so, – go ahead.
Sorry, but that is such a and it's so confounding, too, because you look at an individual like Adam Gase, who I'm sure at some point in your career you've crossed paths with, and you think that, okay, well, Adam Gase is seen as a great offensive mind, and he's worked with Peyton, he's worked with this guy, and he's well-respected. But whether it's Tannehill or Darnold, there's a disconnect, and it's so hard, I guess, to kind of reconcile why a guy doesn't succeed, whether it's Adam, whether it's Sam, or on down the line.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that I you know, most of the guys that I work with in a consistent capacity, and it's not about me, but I usually have some dialogue with the team. You know, hey, I got him out here for 6 months. You want to know what we're doing? I've never spoken with Adam Gase in my life, and everybody else. I talk to the coaches all the time. So, I mean, that's a little indicative right there of, like, you know, you don't have any concern whatsoever of what this kid's doing for 6 months, and so. The development is not even just knowing what to say to develop the player. It's looking at the holistic approach to this is a, when you're drafting somebody, you know, and you said, like working with Trevor Lawrence this year, you know, what is the team's approach to developing the player? There's a lot of newness in these players' lives when they're drafted. That's what the fans don't see. These guys, you know, they go from their sudden wealth and sudden fame. They go from broke college kid to a bunch of money. They have a bunch of expectations that are different than they've had. New league, new length of season, new offense, new defense, new coaches, new teammates, new city. Most of these guys, you know, Trevor may have a better idea, but most of these guys, they have no idea where they're about to live, who they're going to work for, and what's going on there. And so there's so much newness. You have to address it. If you're going to take a quarterback high, you have to really understand who the player is and what they need and what their vices are off the field. And who's in their circle, and you have to really pour into the complete development of that player if your career is on the line, as most of these GMs are. And so if those things aren't addressed and you just look at the guy's tape and coach him up and try and get him to distribute the ball to the right guy and learn the offense really quickly, it's just like it's like me saying I want to get really, really good at golf, so I've been hitting my driver on the range for hours every day. I didn't bring the rest of the clubs. But I'm hitting it straight off.
I just got to get off the tee.
Just got to get off the tee. Like, well, all right, you're going to stay in the 90s for the rest of your life.
With Jarrett and Jordan, of course, folks, he's based in Dana Point, California, which is one of the great cities, towns in America, if you ever have a chance. It's lodged between San Diego and Los Angeles and hangs over the ocean. So it's a hell of a place to work. I know that you work with Jarrett and are working with him this offseason. How has that been so far?
It's been great. I met Jarrett when he was 16 years old. He was a quarterback of mine at the Elite 11 on my 7-on-7 team, and got a chance to see him then. And he's always been able to spin it. He's just, you know, West Texas, Stephenville, Yellow Jackets, grab the ball and rip it. He's always been able to spin it. And, you know, he grew up really fast. Went through a lot at a young age, and I saw the maturity as a young man, and then you know, committing to Texas Tech, decommitting, going to Baylor, transferring from Baylor when our Riles thing went down to Auburn to play for Gus Malzahn, and I've just kind of watched this guy navigate his career and watched him just handle a lot of different things, and you know, and getting married and all the life stuff that happens. So I think Jarrett's one of the good guys in this league in terms of who he is as a person and a young man. And he can absolutely spin it. And he knows this offseason is the offseason to grab it and take it. And, you know, last year, you know, looked like hopefully things were heading that direction. And then, you know, Cam coming in, and I think Jarrett loves competition and is looking for that. You know, last offseason, that one shook out. I'm assuming I'm not privy to what's going on, as no one is with Patriots, but, you know, I would assume they're going to bring in somebody to compete. And I think really Jarrett's just getting himself ready to compete and really, really ready to fill in the leadership void on this team and looking to step up. And, you know, he knows what's expected of him and he knows how important this year is. And so I've just watched this guy do this before, you know, take either a bad situation or take a good opportunity. Sometimes that can be equally, for a player, that can be equally as daunting or equally as challenging, you know, taking on a bad situation or taking over a good opportunity. Sometimes those are equally difficult to grasp and take it and run with. And I've seen him do both of those things. And so I'm really positive on him this coming season, because, you know, he's been in the system with Josh McDaniels for a few years now, and he's healthy, he's in a good spot, and it's time. And so I think that's how he looks at it. And as his coach out here, that's certainly how I look at it.
Yeah. I mean, so with fans and media, there is a tendency, as you said, to act as if guys are disposable. You're backing up Tom Brady in 1 year, and in the next year you have a compressed off season, and then there's competition, then you have a groin injury. Now I'll give full disclosure, there's a point at which I said, well, it's just not getting any better, and his reactions on the field are too inconsistent. He's just, obviously he's talented, but I can see where we're at a point of, hey, okay, well, that ship sailed and it's not working. Are you seeing a different Jarrett Stidham? And I know you view it differently, so I'm acknowledging my surface level appraisals.
Well, what I would say is, what people don't realize is Jarrett, and I've been doing this for a while now, Jarrett had as far to go mentally in terms of what he knew, not in terms of intelligence, in terms of what he knew about football. He had as far to go between college and pro as anybody I've ever worked with. So people don't know this. So like Art Briles' offense, basically nothing in it would help you play in the NFL. The way you read defenses, the way you go through, I'm not saying it wasn't prolific at Baylor, and they weren't, you know, he took a team out of Waco, Texas, and made them a top 10 team, but none of it translates. Gus Malzahn's offense at Auburn, I think, is even further from NFL than Art Briles. So in Gus Malzahn's offense, they don't even call the receivers. They're not even letters. They're numbers. There's a one man, a five man, a seven man, a three man. And you can kind of explain, this isn't an indictment on his offense. He won a national championship with Cam Newton. I'm just saying what they expect you to know on offense at Auburn is the furthest thing from the NFL offenses. Then I think the Patriots offense is the most complex.
Certainly.
So, and he was the two his rookie year, right?
Right.
Like a play away. So the gap that he had to make up mentally is the most significant gap that I've seen out of anybody that I've trained for the NFL draft. I've trained like over 35 guys, and 10 of them started the right, you know, as rookies. So I could do this every year. I've never seen a gap like that. And so you'd love to think, well, he had all offseason. Well, you don't learn it all in the offseason. You're not walking through things in the offseason. You can watch. This guy watches as much tape as anybody. He studies as much as anybody. Like, so it's not just what you all see, Pats Nation, on in the game. There are things that lead up to that. And this is for any player, by the way.
Like, sure.
So the Kyler Murray running the system that he ran in college his rookie year for Cliff Kingsbury, that's just like right place, right time. It was the right year for him to be the number one pick, and that was the right team to have the number one pick. There was no transition for him. But if Kyler Murray were to get traded to New England right now, he'd have a massive gap. May not play, because it would all be new. And that's the thing that we just don't – that doesn't show up on, you know, on the sports book.
Is there time for New England to maybe – and I know that you're probably not feeling like you want to be backseat driving on – Bill and Josh, but is there a time that they have to say, okay, this is what's coming out of college. I know that we have this super highly developed and evolved offense, but we need to start meeting these guys a little closer to halfway.
No, I don't. I think Bill Belichick's the best football mind I've ever been around, and he reads people. He does. No, I'm not in the business of questioning what Bill Belichick and co are doing, and not because Jared's there, not for any other. I just not. I think I got a chance to spend time with Bill. I think, you know, if I look up the, if there's one person that I think has just completely changed the way everything's done for the better, it's Bill Belichick. But no, they have to continue, and they're doing it. They're going to keep doing what they're doing. They're going to develop young guys. We'll see what they do, you know, this off season, whether it's via draft or free agency. And I just, one thing I don't do is I don't question what the Patriots do. Anytime something happens, I go, yeah, that probably is going to end up making sense why they just did that. You know, it's a matter of time. You know, I'm a big Patriots. I don't want to say Patriots fan, cause I work with guys on a lot of teams, but I don't miss a lot of Patriot games. I'll just say that. Jarrett Stidham aside, and McDaniels, what he's done and how they implement and find wrinkles. No, I think it's the quarterback's job. You get a chance to play for the greatest coach, in my opinion, the greatest coach in American sports history, Bill Belichick. Then what you do is you figure out a way to learn it and catch up, or you get beat out. I think that's the way it goes. I don't think they need to dumb it down for anybody. And I definitely don't think they need to dumb it down for Jarrett.
I got to say, even though our hands have been thrown up here in New England a little bit, just because of the way things have gone and we're not accustomed to it, what you're saying right now is certainly going to be encouraging, because right now the mindset is.
Yeah, but I think fans are unrealistic.
Yeah. And media, perhaps.
I think they're unrealistic. I mean, like Bill said it, he goes, look, we've been going all in for a while now. Free agency, draft, like this is what we've been doing, you know? And so, like, fans aren't accustomed to it because they've been winning so much. You know, that's why it's like, it goes both ways, you know? But I don't know. If there's a team that underperformed last year that I would expect to bounce back, it's like, it's them. It's the team with the best decision makers at the helm. And I think most people would argue that would be the Patriots right there.
I know you're probably getting close to your joint, so I'm going to ask you one last question, and it's about Trevor Lawrence. It's two-tiered. A, how good is he? B, are you at all concerned by the description of generational talent and the pressure that comes with that?
Yeah, so for the first part of it, well, let me do the generational thing. I just don't pay attention to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read a draft board yet this year.
They think he's good.
Yeah, and so what I help guys with, especially the guys that are drafted high, is who is they?
Mm-hmm.
And do they matter? Like, I have a great exercise. I have guys, and you ought to do this. So draw on a sheet of paper, a 1-inch square. Okay. 1 inch by 1 inch by 1 inch by 1 inch. Okay. And write down the names inside that square of everybody who their opinion really, really matters. Like, really affects you and really matters. And the more mature guys get when they do that exercise, there's like one or two names in there. And so, you know, you got four kids, okay, then you gotta get a fine tip pen, right? But it just, like, it really doesn't matter. And I know the fans and the media want to matter, right? I wanna get clicks, I wanna get downloads, I wanna get listens, I wanna get views, I wanna get all that stuff. Fans, I wanna comment, I wanna call in to the show. I do a radio show, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Like, you know, I wanna get my voice in there, I wanna get my opinion in there. And the really good ones just could not care less about anybody's opinions. And so, because you're not in the box. Like, the media as a whole, just right, media and everything that encompasses that, it's just not in the box.
Right.
If it's in the box, that's the problem. And so, the generational thing, I think Trevor's just trying to get better. I don't know. He's trying to figure out what it's going to take to be great in the league right away, and he's doing those things. As far as how good he is, I'll say this, like, different than any player I've been around, he has the most NFL franchise quarterback experience before college than anybody I've been around. I've been around Watson, Mahomes, you know, you read a list, there's some others on it. You know, Joe Burrow was a massive deal for 1 year. And people didn't even buy into LSU till they really beat Texas week 6. Mm-hmm. So it was really like half a year, you know. But I was the only person in July before his senior year that went on the media and said, there's a guy no one's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So like nobody was. He wasn't a big deal for 3 years. He was a big recruit. It wasn't a big deal. Trevor's been a big deal since a senior year in high school. you're the number one recruit in the country. Every high school kid shows up to your 7-on-7 event. They're all waiting to see you throw a pick, and they all have their phones out. And middle school kids ask you for autographs and pictures. And so then you go to Elite 11, and that's a TV show, right? You're mic'd up for a week. It's like Hard Knocks. And then he replaces Deshaun Watson. I had Deshaun, so I was there at the, you know, do you see the kid coming in? And here he is. And then he went to national championship. And then the expectations about, you know, to back that up for the next two, that's just, I think if he goes to Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville is going to feel smaller than what he's been dealing
with. Wow.
It's going to feel like less. I'm not talking about the city of Jacksonville. No, I know what you mean. I'm talking about being the number one quarterback taken and, you know, all the stuff that comes with that. I think it'll end up kind of feeling less because he's been the face of college football for 3 years, not Clemson. And it's different. And Deshaun Watson really, you know, his last year he was, you know, and Sam Darnold, his redshirt freshman year, he became that. And then, like, but this team wasn't that good, you know, like they weren't that good his next year. So it's just, Trevor has more experience. Go through all the guys that have been drafted high. Yep. You know, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. Yeah, like they won a Heisman at the end. You know, Lamar Jackson was awesome, but he played at Louisville. Like, they were good, but. You know, it was just Trevor's been the face of this whole deal. And then this offseason, he led the Let Us Play movement.
Yep.
People forget that. He started that. He used his social media platform to start that. And by the way, what's ironic about that, if there was one player who didn't need to play this year who would not have had his draft stock affected, it's Trevor Lawrence. And then when George Floyd died, the social injustice and the role that he played in that, I mean, this has been a long year for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just NFL stuff, Tom. That's just, you know, stuff that franchise quarterbacks go through, except he got a jump start out at 17. I haven't said a word about him throwing a football yet.
No.
So I just look at his confidence and his maturity. And if he goes to Jacksonville, that's the right place at the right time. You know, I think Urban's going to do it. I'm not concerned with it. He hasn't done it in the league. I've got a chance to see a little bit, of, you know, like I think he's going to do it. And so with all that, I'd say that he's positioned to transition as well as anybody we've seen at the top of the draft.
Jordan Palmer, a tremendous interview. Please say hello to Jarrett Stidham from People in New England. He's under the radar. His expectations are low here. Love to see him come back here and seize it and make our jobs easier, and a great success story. If there's anything you need from me at any time, that was a tremendous interview. Thank you.
Yeah, as far as Jarrett, I mean, I think if I'm a Patriots fan, I don't know why I would be anything other than optimistic about everybody on the roster. You know, if you're a real Patriots fan, this isn't about Jarrett. If you're a real Patriots fan and you're, you know, not accustomed to losing last year and this and that, it's like, this is where you're tested as a fan. I tell my players, like, adversity is where you're – that's going to be the measure of how good you are, how well you handle success and how well you handle adversity, those two things. And as a fan, if you're a really good fan when things are going good and not when they're not, I don't know how good of a fan you are. I don't know how good of a, if you're a coach and you don't, you know, and adversity is tough for you, I don't know how good of a coach you are then. And so it's all relative. As a parent, you know, if I'm a really good dad when my kids are happy and cool and listening to me, great. But whether they, the other 60% of the time when they're not and they're hard and they're, because I'm at 4 a.m. this morning with a 2-year-old, then yeah, I'm not a very good dad then if I'm not getting those moments. And so, I think there should be a lot of optimism around Jarrett, and there should be a lot of optimism around the Patriots and the decision that they make of who they're going to add to that room and to other positions. So I just, there's a couple quarterbacks in the league. I won't name them, but I just don't bet against them. And I don't bet against Bill Belichick either.
All right, Phil. So you got some Jordan Palmer now. Do you feel any differently about your Jarrett Stidham outlook for 2021?
I don't. I can't get on board. I understand everything that Jordan Palmer is saying, and he's obviously a smart guy. And he's obviously worked very closely with Jarrett Stidham here. But there are a lot of quarterbacks, Tom, who work in wonky offenses in the college ranks and get to the NFL. And I understand it's different program to program depending on where you end up in the NFL. There are some teams that are much better at working in some of these college concepts than the Patriots might be. But for me, it comes back to how do you react when the bullets are flying. And that's one thing, Tom, I actually try to go back every year around this time and do a little bit of reading and catch up again, because I've read these books before, but on our guy, Michael Hawley's books, War Room and Patriot Reign, which talk about what the Patriots are looking for in the draft, Mike Lombardi's book, Gridiron Genius. And one of the things they say about quarterbacks in particular, watch what a quarterback does when there's pressure on him. Watch what he does on third and long, and you can get a good idea of who that player is. We've seen some stuff already from Jarrett Stidham. It may not be the final product, but we've seen, in my opinion, we've seen enough that you can't depend on him as your guy.
All right. So, well, if nothing else, we've at least had a different perspective to flavor the Tom Curran Patriots Talk podcast with a little bit of optimism today. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope you enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the warm weather. We'll talk to you next week.